Well, I want to start by saying thank you for giving me this opportunity, for putting your trust in me to be able to stand up here and to speak from God's Word. And I also want to thank Randy for that prayer. I have prayed the same thing, that God help me deliver this. And just so happens that my sermon tonight is on prayer. And Randy did not know that. But as I was trying to decide what to speak about tonight, I had a lot of things go through my mind, and I was usually that's the hardest part, is determining what I'm going to speak about. Once I make up my mind what I'm going to speak about, it's not so hard to put a lesson together. It's just making that determination what I'm going to speak about. And what caused me to come to the decision on prayer was I started examining my own life, and I realized that my prayers were lacking. I realized that I've gotten in a situation to where I may or may not pray. I may go a day or two without praying, and it hits me, I haven't prayed to God. And then I pray and I ask God to forgive me for not praying. And I thought, you know, I have really got to work on my prayer life. And oftentimes, a weak prayer life can be an indication of a weak spiritual life. So, as I started putting this lesson together, it really hit home for me and helped me to realize where I'm lacking and ways that I can improve. And I hope that this lesson will help you tonight. If you are struggling in your prayer life, I hope that some of the things that we're going to talk about will help you. And I can't take credit for everything I have here. I actually listened to a series of on a gospel meeting on prayer, and I took some ideas from that, and some of the ideas are my own, but I think everything we have here is scriptural. With all that being said, we'll begin. First off, I want to say, as I was going through this lesson, I looked in the concordance, and I was amazed at how much the Bible has to say about prayer. You don't realize how many times the Scripture tells us to pray, pray, pray. And of course, we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, anytime there's a lesson on prayer, that verse is mentioned. And of course, it is a worthy verse, and we do need to pray without ceasing. But we need to realize that praying is something that has to come from the heart. We build our relationship with God through prayer. And yes, some might be thinking, well, we build our relationship through reading God's Word. That's exactly right. What is prayer? Prayer is communication to God. God has communicated with us through His Word. And I would just say that by studying God's Word, and then we're only going to help develop our prayers, that our prayers might be more spiritual and our prayers might be in line with God's will. We show our dependence on God when we look to God for His guidance. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we see Jesus, even He, when He was on this earth, and He was looking at His disciples, and He was trying to decide who He was going to choose among His disciples to be His apostles. You see what He did here in Luke chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." In verse 13, "And when it was day, He called His disciples to Him, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles." Jesus Himself prayed all night to the Father for God's guidance in His selection of the apostles. And you think, wow, Jesus is God. But even He was no exception to needing to pray to the Father for God's guidance. And how often in our lives do we do things without first seeking God's guidance, without first looking to His counsel? Maybe we need or moving to another city or whatever, taking another job, whatever the case may be. Do we take it to God in prayer and do we seek His guidance and His counsel and look at His Word to find out if we're doing what's best for our spiritual health, for service to God? So we need to show God, well, I don't mean to say that God needs to see it. God knows our hearts. But we need to understand and we need to come to the realization that we are dependent upon God. And by praying to God and seeking His guidance, we show our dependence in that way. Also, our prayer helps us to grow closer to God. You know, communication. When you think about communication with friends, with strangers, how do you build a relationship with someone? Through communication. If you meet a stranger, let's say you go visit another congregation and you meet a stranger, and what's the first thing that takes place? Maybe a handshake, and you get into communication, and you start to talk, and you realize, hey, we've got this in common, or we understand each other the same way, we have the same interest, or whatever the case may be. But as time goes on, that communication grows, and so does that relationship. You develop a friendship with one another. I think the same thing is true with God. I think through our communication with God, we develop a closeness, a relationship that needs to be there, and a longing for Him, which is my next point. Prayer should be something we long for. How many people here, and I know we've got some teenagers in here, and maybe you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, but could you imagine not being able to speak to your girlfriend or boyfriend for a period of time and how you would miss that? Or even a family member that's been gone for several years, maybe out of the country. How happy you are to get to reunite with that person and to have conversation with that person and speak with them. Shouldn't it be that way with God? When we speak with God, shouldn't we desire to go to the Heavenly Father in prayer and have communication with Him? So, communication helps strengthen our relationship with God. Well, let's think about some reasons that might cause us, some things that might cause us not to pray. There's a lot of things. When I was putting this lesson together, and I got to this part, I had a lot of things run through my head. But I think the number one thing that came to mind, and I bet most of you are probably thinking it too, what's the reason we don't pray? We're just too busy. Too busy. Can you believe that? We live in a time when we have all kinds of time-saving equipment, time-saving devices. We've got apps on our phone. If you think about a logger, someone that cuts timber, you look back 50, 60, 100 years ago, however long back it needs to be, far back, those guys would work hard with an axe and a crosscut saw day in, day out. We can cut more timber in a day's time than what those guys could cut in 6 months because of the equipment that we have. When it comes to my field of work, in drafting and design, we used to sit down at a table with a pencil and all kinds of tools, and we would draw everything out by pencil. Now we've got CAD, computer-aided drafting and design, where we can take and we can model something in 3D and spit out 2D drawings, and we can do that in no time. And any changes you can almost make immediately. Whereas a change on paper, you had to erase and erase and scrub it out and then redraw it. We have all of this time saving, all of these time saving methods, more so than anyone in history, but yet we can't find time for God. How sad is that? And boy, that is a slap in the face to me. You know what the problem is? We spend our time in entertainment. We are more concerned with watching TV, playing video games, surfing Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or whatever your favorite website or social network is, or going to sports, watch sports games, or going to theme parks or whatever. We are so caught up in entertainment and serving ourselves that we can't find time to pray to the God of heaven, the one who holds our life in His hand. He gives us breath each and every day when we wake up. Do we realize every morning when we wake up that God has allowed us to wake up? Do we thank God for allowing us to wake up that day? It's very humbling to think about what we neglect and what we how we kind of push God off to the side for things that are so worldly and things that are so insignificant that we think are important. Well, another reason we might not pray is I think we're just too rich. Did anyone wake up this morning and wonder, what am I going to eat today? I bet you not a person in this auditorium was concerned about eating today. You know, Ed Brand was here. Did I get that name right? Mr. Brand was here last week, and he was talking. He was showing slides of brethren over in Africa. And you know, we have brethren all around the world that wake up each day, and they don't know if they're going to have a meal that day. We are so rich in this country that we don't have to worry about that. We're so busy clutching on to possessions that we don't have time for God. We have, you think about all of the material possessions we have, all of the necessities, they're all there. And I would dare say that regardless of your financial state in this country, unless you just choose to be a hobo on the street, or if that's, you know, if tough luck has landed you there for a short time, whatever, you still have the necessities. You still have food. You still have clothing. Because even for those people, our government, there are all kinds of organizations that collect and give to those kind of people, anyone in need. So there's almost no reason for anyone in this country to go without necessities. But people in other countries do. We've got so many possessions. We've got luxuries galore. Things that we just absolutely do not need, but we think we do. Well, let me ask you a question. If something, you know, we hear about the solar flares. And if one of these big solar flares gets large enough that it could put out our grid, it could put out our internet, our phones, all of our communication, what if that happened? What if we woke up in the morning with no power, no cell phone service, so we can't text, we can't look at the internet, we can't watch TV, no lights, no hot water? We just found ourselves in the dark, in the cold. Well, it wouldn't be cold in the morning, but sometime in December it might be. Would we pray? Would we decide to pray then? when we realize that we've lost everything? Would that wake us up and make us think, you know what? I need to pray to God. It probably would. But that's not the way. That's not what it should take to make us get on our knees and pray to the God of heaven. We don't need to treat God like a spare tire. Do y'all get in your cars every time you go somewhere? There actually may be some people that do this. I don't know. I don't. But every time you get in your vehicle to go somewhere, or before you get in your vehicle, do you check your spare tire and make sure it's still back there? Or make sure it's got air in it? Probably not. When do we check our spare tire? Micah's nodding his head, yes. Good for you, Micah. I hope you check your oil, too. When do we check our spare tire? When we're sitting on the side of the road with a flat, right? Because now we need it. Uh-oh, I better go check. And you hope you get back there and hope my spare tire's got air in it. We don't need to treat God like a spare tire. And only pray to God when things have gone bad and we feel like we need Him. You've heard the saying, God doesn't want you for a fair weather friend. God doesn't want you for a foul weather friend. And only come to Him when things are going bad in your life. Well, another reason we might not pray, and I mentioned this in the beginning, is spiritual weakness. Maybe we've got sin in our lives. Maybe that sin is to an extent to where you are depressed and you feel like you can't even go to God. How can I go before God with what I've done? Will He even hear my prayer? I want to read something, and it's over in Psalm 51. I want to read David's prayer to God when he has realized the sin he has committed by committing adultery with Bathsheba and putting to death Uriah by having him sent to the front lines to murder him. Listen how David starts his prayer. In Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Have you ever been in such a state that when you go to God in prayer, that's all you can get out is, "Have mercy on me, O God." Because you realize what you've done, the sins that you've committed, and you feel like that you can't even say anything else. Listen to David's prayer. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." David is pleading to God for the forgiveness of his sins. David has gotten, it sounds to me like David has gotten into that deep state of oppression, depression, where he has put off praying for a time, and then he just can't take it anymore, and he has to pour his heart out before God. If we are in a situation like that, we can know that God will hear our prayers. If we are, you notice what David said here? "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." If we go before God in all humility with a broken spirit, realizing what we've done, and we're ashamed of what we've done, and we have a penitent heart, God will hear our prayers and God will forgive us. Revelation 2 and 4, 2 verse 4, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says that he tells them that you've lost your first love. I think sometimes that might be another reason why we don't pray. You remember when you first became a Christian, how excited you were, how you felt like you could just scream it from the rooftop. You wanted to tell everybody about God's Word. You wanted to read God's Word all the time. You wanted to pray to God. You were just hungry and thirsty all of the time, wanting to consume every bit of knowledge you could from God's Word. And as time goes on, we kind of get complacent and life happens and we kind of just drift over to the side. And then we find our Bible one day sitting over on a shelf and we think, "Wow, I need to get that out and read it. I haven't read that in a long time." So we knock the dust off of it. But weakness can cause us not to pray. And we need to get back that first love that Jesus said, tells the church at Ephesus that you lost. You lost your first love. If He were speaking to us tonight, would He tell us that? You've lost your first love? There are a lot of other reasons, I'm sure. But for sake of time, we'll move on. Reasons why we should pray. So that's our next topic. The first thing that comes to my mind, reasons why we should pray, God's mercy. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ezekiel 18:4 says that the soul that sins shall die. If we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then we all deserve death. Because of God's mercy, we're here today. He has granted us something that we do not deserve, and that is life. We need to pray, we should pray because of thanksgiving. We need to give thanks to God. I mentioned earlier the necessities of life: food, clothing, shelter. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have a lot of luxuries in this life: comfort, freedom. As of now, for the most part, a lack of persecution, although I believe it's coming. But there are brethren in other parts of this world that are suffering persecution. Persecution is not something that only happened to those first century Christians. There are parts of the world where it's against the law. You will be put to death for practicing Christianity. We need to be praying for those brethren. We need to be praying for giving thanks for God's written Word. Of all the books in the world, last I had heard, the Bible is still the number one seller. But it would not surprise me if it was the least read book in all of the world. We have God's Word available to us in so many ways. Written on page, we've got it on our cell phones, we can get it on DVD or CD or MP3 or cassette tape if you want to go back that far. There's so many ways that we can get God's Word, and how much time do we spend in it? If all of a sudden this was taken away from us, how much would we desire it then? How much would we long to be able to open God's Holy Scriptures and read His will and read about those early Christians? How much of that do we have in our heart? How much of it would we remember if the Word was taken away from us and we could no longer in any way open up God's Word? How much of that have you put in your heart, in your memory, that you could pull back and remember and think on and meditate on? I'm afraid that I would be lacking in a lot of areas. And most importantly, in thanksgiving, the sacrifice of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. We talked about this morning, whenever we take the Lord's Supper, how we need to focus our hearts and our minds on what took place that day and what that sacrifice means to us. We need, every time we go to God in prayer, we need to be mindful of that. Whether we mention it or not, we should be mindful of that each and every day, because that is the greatest gift. The forgiveness of sins, if it wasn't for the forgiveness of sins, we could have no hope of eternal life in heaven with God. We would be lost for all eternity. Shouldn't we be thankful for that? Supplication, our request to God. Prayers for others. In John 17, Jesus prays for Himself, first off, in verses 1 through 5. But in verse 6, He turns His prayer to His disciples. And I won't, for the sake of time, I won't read this, but you can read it in your own time. In chapter 17, just go ahead and read all the way through the end of the chapter there, and you'll see how Jesus is praying for His disciples and for other believers. We need to pray for ourselves, for job, safety, health, the well-being of our household. How about to be better leaders in our household? But God, to help us to train our children to be servants of His and teach them to have a spiritual grounding so that when they're grown and they go off to college, they're not easily shaken and taken down by some atheist professor. And we need to pray for our country and our leaders. You know, I absolutely believe that our nation, Brother Stewart and I were just talking about this, I absolutely believe that our nation is in peril, is in danger because of two things, mostly. Well, we're caught up in all kind of sins, but I think there's two sins that are probably going to bring this nation down. One is homosexuality, and the other is abortion. I want to turn over and look at Numbers 35 and 33. Numbers 35, verse 33. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of Him who shed it. Last I heard, over 50 million babies in this country have been murdered through abortion since Roe v. Wade. It's probably, and that's been a while ago, so it's probably closer to 100 million by now. But the entire generation, an entire generation, has been wiped off of the face of this earth through abortion. Innocent blood has been shed. If God feels today about the shedding of innocent blood, like He felt back then, like we just read in Numbers, then the land of this nation is polluted with the shedding of innocent blood. And how does He say it can be cleansed? By shedding the blood of the one that took the innocent blood. Now you start thinking about that. You think about all of the abortion clinics that have been involved in this, all of the parents that have been involved in this, all of the activists that march and protest and try to keep it going, all of the political figures, everybody that's upheld this abortion stuff and tried to promote it. Does that mean that every one of them must die to cleanse the land? Well, I'm not standing up here trying to get everybody stirred up and say, let's go out with pitchforks and whatever. I'm trying to simply make a point that God hates innocent blood being shed, and we are involved in it up to our necks in this country. And it just very well may be the thing that causes this nation to fall. We need to be praying, brethren. We need to pray to God that He blesses us as a nation, that our leaders might be able to do something to turn our hearts around. Did you know it's documented in the early days of this country of the Congress instructing the president to encourage the people to pray to God? That's documented. That's historical documents. This night, we used to be a religious... I want to be careful about using the term Christian there. That was what was intended. But we used to be a religious, very religious nation. And yes, politics and religion were mixed. This whole idea of separation of church and state, that's not in the Constitution. They teach it like it is. You know where that comes from? That comes from a private letter written by Thomas Jefferson to a Baptist association who was concerned that the government might interfere with the free and open practice of religion. And Thomas Jefferson said that, you know, they can't do that because we have separation of church and state. And they've taken that term and turned it around to completely take religion out of the government. And look where it's led us. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for our nation and praying for our leaders. And when we pray, we need to mention, as David was, he was specific. Did you notice in his prayer he was specific? He didn't just shove his sins before God and say, God, forgive me my sins. He was specific. He said, forgive me for blood guiltiness. When we go to God in prayer and we pray for God to forgive our sins, do we name them specifically to God? You know, it's not because God needs us to. God knows what we've done. He knows exactly what we've done. But you know what it does? It produces a certain amount of humility in us when we have to admit it. When we admit it to God. You know what? I did this. And you're specific about it. And you say, I did this, and I'm sorry for this, God. Please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. And help me not to do this again. David was specific, and we need to be specific as well. Well, ways, I see the clocks quickly getting away. Ways to improve our prayer life. What are some ways that we can improve our prayer life? Well, I have done in the past, I did a little Wednesday night talk, been years ago, and I'm sure everybody knows this, and I've taught my kids this, a little acronym, that's ACTS, A-C-T-S, and it stands for Adoration, Confession, thanksgiving and supplication. And this, if you structure your prayer this way, the first thing you do is you're giving praise to God. You're praising God for His greatness, for His power, His might, His loving kindness, for everything that He has done and is, for His creation. Is it because God needs to hear that? No. When we go to God in prayer, we need to realize that we are going before the God of the universe. And by simply beginning that prayer with praise and adoration to God, it humbles us. It puts us in the state that we need to be in, realizing that we are not even worthy to speak to God, but He has granted us that avenue. Confession. If we go ahead and confess our sins up front, get that out of the way, then I think that kind of opens the door to allow us to talk about other things. Then we can give thanks to God. And the last thing, supplication, our request. And I'm not saying that this is how we got to pray. This is, you can only pray this way. I'm just saying it's simply a good acronym and a good go-by in structuring your prayers to God. So, other ways to improve our life, study and meditate on God's Word. We mentioned that prayer is communication, and God has communicated to us right here. And the only way we're going to know what God has communicated to us is by studying, by reading His Word, meditating on that. And if you will, our prayers are somewhat a response to God, because He's already communicated to us. Now we're going to go back and communicate to Him. And hopefully our communication, our will coincides with His will. We need to set aside time each day. Let's make it. You know how we set aside time for most everything, right? We have a time that we like to eat. We have a time. Well, I'm going to work at this time, and I'm gonna go to the gym at this time, and this time of day we're going to the ball field, and my favorite show comes on at this time. We got a time set aside for almost everything we do. Do we have time set aside for prayer? Do we actually purpose it ahead of time and say, every day from 5 to 6, or you may not even pray for an hour, but set that aside. I'm gonna go off to my bedroom and I'm going to close the door, or I'm going to go out in the woods and I'm going to pray to God. And purpose that. Make that something that becomes your everyday thing. And it may be a good idea just to turn that television off and use that time more wisely. You understand I'm speaking to me as well as you. Because like I said in the beginning, I realized in putting this lesson together how much I am lacking in my prayer life to God. Don't get caught up in the repetition trap. And this is kind of my terminology here. Repetition trap is, I said that because we tend to get into a repetition, and I'm not knocking anybody in the congregation that leads prayer, because I've done it too. But you can go from congregation to congregation, and you start listening to the prayers, and a lot of times they'll sound the same. Because we tend to have certain phrases and certain words that we use in our prayers that gets repeated every time someone leads a prayer. Well, there's not necessarily anything in and of itself wrong with that. But what it could be is just kind of uttering phrases instead of something that's actually from the heart. When we pray, we need to try to pray from our heart. Pray out loud. Remember, we're speaking to a person. We're speaking to God. a being. And when we speak to one another, do we speak in our mind? No. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying silently to God, praying in our mind. But can I just share something? And I'm not trying to say this in a bragging way, but when I am out in the woods by myself, and I'm in nature, and I am looking at the trees, and I'm looking at the sky, and I'm listening to the birds, something about that makes me want to pray. And I find that that is a good time to open up my heart and speak out loud to God. Now, I don't think that that's, maybe that, you know, I'm not getting any more credit for that than I do when I say my prayer silently at night before I go to bed, but it sure feels like I'm making better communication. And I think it's just, you know, it can help us in our prayer life if we speak out loud to God. And of course, we need to, you know, sometimes it's hard to find a private place where you can get away from the kids and get away from the spouse and or anybody else where you can actually speak out loud. Some people hear you speaking out loud to yourself and they think, what's wrong? Something wrong with him. But anyway, if we can do that, I just think that's a good thing. And the last thing on my list here, and I know I've took more than my time, is a prayer journal and a prayer list. And I am not doing this. This is actually one of the ideas that I took from David Maxson. But this is something I intend to do. A prayer journal where we can write down our thoughts throughout the day. And then when we go to God, we've got those thoughts. We can bring those thoughts back up. Because how many times have you thought, well, I need to pray about that? But when you finally stop during the day or in the evening or whenever to pray, you forget what you were going to pray about. And the same thing with a list. A prayer. I see emails come through our church email address where someone's asking prayers for so-and-so, prayers for so-and-so. And I say, I'm going to do that. And a lot of times, I work in an office environment, and there's times when I may be in the office by myself where I can just stop right then and do it, because if I don't, I'll forget. So I need to make a list and start writing those names down. And in that prayer journal, maybe you write down the things that you want to talk to God about personally. Maybe you want to name, if you're caught up in some kind of sin, maybe you want to name that sin. Put it in there. Boy, sure wouldn't want your wife to find that or your husband to find that, would you? Well, you might all put a lock on that thing. But it's, you know, when we are speaking to God, how much better to have what we want to say written down so that we can remember everything we wanted to communicate to God. So these are just some thoughts, and I hope that this has helped, and I hope that I have encouraged others. I know that I was encouraged when I was putting this lesson together, and I intend to do my best to try to improve my prayer life to God. And I hope that that relationship between my God and I can be strengthened and built upon so that someday I can inhabit eternal life with Him in heaven. Well, if there's anyone here tonight who has not become a Christian, you won't have eternal life. We know what the Scripture tells us. We have to believe, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to repent. Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent. We've got to confess, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And we need to be baptized. Acts 2:38, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have any needs this evening, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.